This lesson is entitled Leading an Organized and Fruitful Bus Ministry with Billy Willis. Billy Willis is the Children's Ministry Director at Lancaster Baptist Church, where his responsibilities include overseeing the church's children's Sunday school programs, Wednesday night kids programs, vacation Bible school, as well as the bus ministry. This lesson is a part of Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011, hosted by Pastor Paul Chappell and Lancaster Baptist Church.
If you'll take your Bibles and turn to the book of Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. You say, how did you become the bus director at Lancaster Baptist? I'll tell you very quickly as you're opening the Philippians 4:17. Almost 8 years ago, it'll be 8 years ago this coming January, my wife and I came on staff here, and I was strictly the children's pastor. And then about 4 or 5 years ago, our intern bus director at the time ended up going to another church, and Pastor Chappell called me up into the office and said, hey, I've got a dilemma. I was like, that's great, and that's good news. And I didn't say that. I just said, yes, sir. He said, we just lost our bus director, and I already knew what was coming. And he said, Brother Willis, I want you to take over the bus ministry. You know, at first, I was very excited because I had been in bus ministries in other states and things like that, but I'd never really been in the bus ministry in California, which I've helped out in bus ministries in North Carolina. I've helped out in bus ministries in Missouri, and then now California. And I remember it was a good feeling, but it was a humbling feeling. And boy, I tell you now, about 4 or 5 years later, I'm very thankful that our pastor has allowed me to oversee the bus ministry. And every time I pull on campus on Sunday morning, really any time I see our yellow buses sitting over there, and I think that every Sunday or every Saturday during the school year, and every Sunday morning and every Sunday afternoon, we're running buses to pick up children and teens. And Philippians 4:17, let's look there together. It says this: not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Fruit that may abound to your account. You know, as when I was saved at 17 years old, I was introduced to independent Baptist churches. I was saved in an independent Baptist church. My parents and I, we kind of just floated around to different churches, Methodist churches, Free Will Baptist churches, all different churches. Some of them just believed all different kinds of things. But I remember finally making it to a church that gave me a clear gospel plan. And I remember my dad telling me, he said, Billy, I was a bus kid. And the church I was at in North Carolina didn't even have a bus ministry. It was very foreign to me. And I didn't really understand my dad when he told me he was saved through the bus ministry in a small town in North Carolina. I'll never forget him telling me that. He said he was saved through the bus route. Then he became the bus driver. Then my dad became a pastor. And I thought, I was like, that's neat, Dad. It really is. And then I really never understood it. But I know this, my dad is fruit that abounds, is fruit that remains. You know, we could say, well, we had 1,000 in church on Sunday or whatever, and 700 of them were bus kids, and we say it was 700 were bus kids. I'm going to tell you this. If we can see families reach through the bus ministry, that is fruit that remains. The bus ministry isn't just to get the numbers up. It is trying to see families saved. I tell our captains all the time this. I said, if your numbers dip this week because you had 10 families in church, that's a good reason for your numbers to dip. That's really the only reason your numbers should dip, is to see that fruit that remains. One of our bus riders that's been riding our bus for quite a few years, I think since a little child, she was in our college and career. We started a college and career class about 2 years ago, and Tommy Thurgood, one of our bus workers at the time, started it. What happened is that senior high, high schoolers, when they graduated from the bus ministry, they had nowhere to go. And it was very different for them to jump in on maybe a drive-in crowd class. And what we were trying to do is bridge the gap and try to get those college career students to stay faithful, and then bridge the gap so one day they can merge over into a drive-in type class. And one of the little girls, Micaiah Miller, I guess she's not little, but I think she was 18 or 19 years old. She had just transitioned from the senior high bus class to now the college and career bus class. And she was hit by a hit-and-run driver just a few weeks ago and went home to be with the Lord. But the story didn't start there. You see, the story started with a bus captain knocking on this girl's door. And then that bus captain or a bus class worker seeing her saved. Then Mrs. Thurgood, the wife of one of our faithful bus captains for over 20 years, discipling this girl. And Pastor Chapel on a Sunday night calling that girl up to the platform to receive her discipleship certificate. And now that girl's in heaven. You know, you say, well, what's the big deal about that? That girl got saved through our bus ministry. That girl was discipled through our bus ministry. Now that girl's in heaven. You see, I thought about this. What if our buses weren't rolling? What if we thought, like, if you didn't hear the message about Dr. Ouellette the other night about the spirit of fear? A lot of times bus ministry stopped because of fear, because of fear of finances, fear of things like that. This is what Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said. I love this quote. If you take care of the spiritual, God will take care of the financial. If you take care of the spiritual, God will take care of the financial. You could take offerings on your buses, and I guarantee they won't pay for the gas that fueled that bus to go pick up those kids. Guarantee it. It's not a money-making thing. But I can tell you this. I'm glad that buses were rolling in North Carolina to see George Willis and my dad saved. I'm glad that buses were rolling in San Jose, California to see Mrs. Chapel saved. I'm glad of that. And I'm still glad that buses roll in Lancaster, California to see Micaiah Miller saved, that girl. And as we think about an organized and fruitful bus ministry, you know, our God is a God of organization. He is a God of organization. We have to make sure that we are organized in the bus ministry. If you're looking for your page, the notes are, is track 8, page 32. Okay, track 8, page 32. Number one is this, organized. Organized. You see, I mean, that's very simple. I know, but it's very difficult, isn't it? Organized. Organized, I looked it up in the dictionary. Having a formal organization or structure, especially to coordinate or to carry out for widespread activities. What is the purpose of the bus ministry? Is it just to have big numbers? Is it just to see 1,000 people saved? Or is it to see fruit that remains? Now listen, in April or May, we have a big bus outreach and we'll have a large number on the buses. We rent out public schools and run buses and try to have we call it Community Appreciation Day. And we'll see hundreds of kids saved. You know what? And that is great. But here's the problem with this. If that day ended just on a Saturday or Sunday and we were done with it, we have failed ultimately. Because now if 100 were saved, now we have 100 new baby Christians we've got to follow up on. So after that big day, a lot of times my assistant and I, we'll stay up till 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning sometimes making maps and visits and stapling the baptism sheet to that, and then we'll hand them out, and we're not completely satisfied until every visit is made. Because, yeah, now they're saved, but now we want them to grow. So now it's the extra burden on us. We've got to organize that. So letter A, organized in plan. In plan. Organized in plan. Have special campaigns that support the vision. You know, whatever it is, whatever your kids like to do, have special days. And I know one of our special days was Friend Day in February. On Valentine's Day, we had Friend Day. And we had some big giveaways and things like that. And we would have our bus classes and our bus routes. They would teach on having a friend here. And many of those kids would bring mom and dad. And I mean, many of them brought mom and dad that Sunday. They didn't even ride the bus. They brought mom and dad. It's because that special emphasis was bring mom and dad and having that organization. But you can't just tell a bus captain that morning, say, oh, yeah, by the way, we're having a special promotion. It's got to be organized. It's got to be months out. What we usually do, and this is one of the most dreaded things, I think, in about December time frame, Pastor Chapel tells the staff, the leadership team, seven or eight of us, we have to do our staff planner. What that means for us is work. It's like one of those bittersweet moments. So what we do, we take everything that we're in charge of on the calendar, and we put to-do dates by it. So and then we take that to-do, and we put it in our calendar, so I don't have to think about it anymore. So I know this, that if we're having an activity in April, in January I have to reserve the schools. All right. I can't reserve those schools in April because they're going to be reserved already. Because I want to make sure that those special days are planned days. You say, do you ever fail at it? Yeah, we do. We do. Well, we try our best to be organized and to make sure that that our captains and our workers are excited about those special days. Not only that, but in discipleship, in discipleship. I'm not going to ask how many people have an adult discipleship program at your church. We do on Wednesday nights and throughout the time. Tanya, did you have that visit, the copy of the visit? It's right here. I was talking about visits a while ago. She was ahead of me on this. What they get if a child is saved at Vacation Bible School or any special day, this is the sheet we give them. Here's a little tracker card. If I took that, I would put Billy Willis and I would turn that in. I would rip this off, and they would give it to our office. Then we'd take this and put it on a spreadsheet. And here's Danelle Brown. Danelle was a bus child, bus route 5. The last time they attended, well, this is probably really old. We put it out, pull it out of one of our files, was January 30th, 2011. And the decision they made was salvation. So since they got saved, we want to follow up on baptism. Okay? So if I took this visit, and Tanya Heimer was overseeing the visits, she's going to call me or email me the next week and say, how did the visit go? And we tell our workers, don't take it unless you're going to go visit them. Because to me, this is worth more than money. Because this is a precious soul that we have now reached that we want to see grow. So when we organize this, we know there's going to be a lot of work ahead. So here's the map to Danelle Brown's house right here. All right, they live on 1553 East Lancaster Boulevard, right down here on 15th Street East. That's where Danelle lives. Okay? Then we give the worker a baptism permission slip, because no child's going to be baptized in this church unless their parents are with them under the age of 18 without this. So we already give this to them, and we want that worker to walk up to the parents and say, we're excited about your child's decision. See, the reason we do that too, because we get to share the decision with the parent. That's the goal. And then we're going to sit down and say, hey, Mom and Dad, you want to listen to this? Because some parents may say, oh, I was baptized in the Catholic Church. Well, here it is right here. Some pictures and the verses and everything. You see, we don't stop. We try not to stop at the salvation point. Now, that's great. We want them to have assurance of salvation, all those things. But we want to move a step further and help our bus team be organized and taking it to the next step. I'm going to tell you, I don't think there's anybody in this room that just gets discouraged when people get baptized. We had over 50 baptized on Sunday. I'm going to tell you this. I wasn't sitting there thinking, oh, hurry up. Lunch is waiting. It's getting cold. I didn't think that. I thought, how many of them were our bus kids? That's what I was wondering. I thought Brother Downey had 3 come down the aisle with the families and be baptized off his bus route. Hey. Brother Downey wasn't walking through the parking lot Sunday. Brother Willis, 3 baptized. No, it's just 4 weeks ago we met with our bus captains and said, look, anniversary Sunday, we want to encourage as many to be baptized. We want to push it and push it and push it and push it. And we started making rosters and taking, we said, all right, we on your bus next Sunday, ask how many children have been saved but not baptized. Take a poll. We told our children's teachers, say, hey, stand up in class and ask them. And then when you write those names down, get to the home. Get to the home and go visit them. So we try our best to help our bus folks be organized. And we always tell them, make sure you fill this out because we're going to come chasing you. We will wake you up late at night if you don't give us the information. We threaten them, all right? But special days and discipleship, very important. Soul winning and follow-up, we just covered the part that we do here. And if you have better ideas, please let me know on that too. But then also route the errors. Okay, I know this is how our captains are. I know none of you are like this. But they'll get a soul winning contact, and it could be 5 miles out of their area. What do you think they do? Do they do the nice thing and give it to the captain that's in there? No, they don't. They wait 20 minutes, and they go out. So then I got to find out, okay, this. So that's the reason we have bus routes. Okay, we take, okay, you're going to take from 40th Street East to 20th Street East and from J to L. That's what your bus route is. And that and it's good to have, because here's the difficult part. To drive from here to 10th Street West will take you 20 minutes. Well, it's very difficult to have a route from 40th Street East to 10th Street West. And so that's the reason we help our captains do that. I don't know, in North Carolina, my wife and I started We were out in the sticks of North Carolina. We kind of loved it. I used to sit on my back porch and shoot crows out of the trees. It's not like that here. We just we can't shoot ravens, unfortunately. But I remember we were way out in the sticks, and I remember we started a van route. All the church had was a van route. And I remember one day we had 26 on the van. The next week we had 4 because nobody else wanted to ride anymore because it was so packed. But I remember we started in a mobile home park, just knocking doors, knocking doors, knocking doors. Then our area was split. And I begged the church, hey, please buy us a bus. And they wouldn't buy us a bus. But because we wanted to start more routes and more routes and more routes. And then I remember we went to Missouri and started some routes, some teen class routes on Wednesday nights. We filled up one bus, and then another guy came along. We said, okay, you're going to take Herculaneum, and we're going to take Festus, and we're going to hit all these areas. You know, and it's good to have those bus routes. So if you need to reorganize those or think through them, or say, man, we only have one van, maybe get some people in the church to go pick up this group over here, whatever needs to be done, get them here on time, because that's very, very important. Letter B is this: organized in policies and procedures. I think I'm teaching a lesson either tomorrow or Thursday on policies and procedures, exactly what our church does with those. And I'll try to get, Tanya, if you can write it down, maybe I can bring the bus policies and procedures in as well. We have two sets. We have bus policies and procedures and children's ministry that for our drive-in. But policies and procedures are very important. And the reason I say this is I've heard children's pastors and pastors tell me, well, our church is very small. We don't need policies and procedures. Wrong. Sorry, that is wrong. Because what do you do? Does your workers know what to do in an emergency? What if a child, what if a bus child comes up to you and said they've been molested? What do you do? Oh, okay. Well, let's pray about it. No. Well, if you live in the state of California, you work with children, you are a mandatory reporter. That means you have to, by law, tell Child Protective Services. There's documents you have to fill out. It's not just a, all right, go in peace. It's more to it than that. So in your policies and procedures, what if a child falls and breaks a tooth out? Do you just say, okay, here's some ice. Good for you. No, we tell our workers we have to have an incident report. A few years ago, we had an incident. One of our workers was out soul winning, and he wanted to play. I still don't understand. They were playing baseball with a skateboard. Go figure. It was the bus captain's turn to hit. The problem is he didn't hit the ball. He hit the kid's face. You say, man, what did that mean? It meant a lot of incident reports, making visits down below to the family. And I mean, I was down in LA almost every day during that 2-week period at the hospital. You know, and luckily we gained the family and things like that. I think the little boy still rides. But it was unbelievable. What if he was just slapping him on the back? Okay, no big deal. It was a big deal. The kid had to go through surgery. But if it had came down to it, we had all the documents right there. What happened, what time, who was there, everything. And that's very important. Just like in a nursery on a Sunday morning, sometimes I have 20 to 25 incident reports on my desk by Monday morning. You say, what are they? Sometimes it's a kid biting another kid. Who was there? Because here's the thing. Who do they usually call? They call me. Bro, what happened to my kid? I don't know. It makes me look stupid. And it makes our nursery look stupid. And then who does a bus? I remember one time a bus mom got my cell phone number. It was my day off. It was a Thursday. My wife and I, she was shopping. I was in JCPenney. And I answered my phone. I shouldn't have. And this bus mom was just screaming at the top of her lungs, what do you think you're doing? You know what happened? I had the incident report on my desk. I had already read it. I knew what happened. You see, I already knew. And so we take those incident reports and we file them. But another, if you look there, number one, writer permission slips. And we can get you some of those if you need one of these, if your church doesn't have one. But here's a bus rider attendance permission slip. We tell the parents exactly what we do. I remember one parent wrote it there. I don't agree with this, but I'm going to sign it anyway. And I told the bus captain, go back and tell the mom we're not picking them up. I said, be kind about it. And they ended up getting another one filled out and things like that. But here it is. Our purpose is a Bible-believing church to present the gospel. We are all sinners. Here's the plan of salvation right on our bus permission slip. And we tell them, in the event of any disagreement or conflict arises from any activity connected to this authorization or release, and it gives all the disposition there. And we make sure that every rider does this. So what happens is, now I know every church is different, how they treat, I think Tanya's got a few of these to pass out, but how we treat this, how we do our buses is this. On 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, our buses pull up. We leave at 7 o'clock from the North Auditorium. We go out. They land back here at 9. Then we have classes out at our Student Life Center. Kindergarten, first grade, second through fourth, fifth and sixth, then seventh and eighth. Boys and girls are split up. Senior high are upstairs. And we have college and career in the Oasis. Okay, so those teachers will not know a new child. And I know your bus kids are probably way better than ours, and they never lie, right? Am I right on that one? For some reason, when they get on the bus, their name says Tyrone on the slip. When they get to class, their name is now changed from Tyrone to Johnny. Now they've gone from 16 to 8 years old. That's the reason we have, one of the reasons we have bus permission slip. So now what happens is this. With that child, this is how it's supposed to work. Does it always work? No. But this is how it's supposed to work. That bus rider will be escorted either by the bus captain or a bus worker with this permission slip. Because now it's got all the information on it. And so that will be escorted and handed either to the teacher or the bus class worker. So now we have all the information. Then this bus class worker will take this and put it into our binder. The binder, it will be turned on into my office, and my assistant will take this and file it away. So we've had parents say, well, I never gave my child permission. Lo and behold, yes, they did. We have it right here. You see, we try to make sure, like the Bible says, we make foolproof of the ministry. Because the devil wants to do, listen, if he can use something as simple as not getting permission slip to ruin a bus ministry, he will. He'll use it. So we've got to make sure that we're organized in our policy and procedures, signed by the parent, filed away at the church. Number two is this, data entry and filing. Data entry and filing. Every Monday and Tuesday, Nicole Whippler now, she takes these and enters them into our computer system. Spreadsheets, I don't know. All the secretaries do different things, but I can just call her and say, hey, is so-and-so in our, have they ever read the bus? Yes, sir. They rode this date, this date, this date, this date. And I remember years ago, Pastor telling me, he said, Brother Wes, before you came, it was right when we first started our bus ministry, somebody tried to take us to court and said their child was on the bus. You see, when our riders get off the bus, we videotape them. And when they get into the classroom, walk around the classroom and videotape them too, then we take those videotapes and file them away. What happened was this parent said, oh, that kid rode your bus that day. Here was the problem. We had no attendance record, and then the court pulled our videotapes and the kid was not found. So it was proof. The proof was in the pudding. So it saved us from a long, drawn-out process. Do you everybody see what the purpose is for policy procedure? Are they fun? No. It's not fun for me to say, where's the video cameras? Get them out. Make sure you're getting a videotape, which we got very good folks. One of our deputies, he doesn't dress up in deputy clothes, even though I wish he would. He just won't do it. I even tell him, bring his 9mm and just flash it at kids. He won't do that either. Very few times. If I had a badge, I'd just wear it. You know, you see this right here? I can handle you. But he doesn't do it. But he's in plain clothes. He's a deputy. He's out there. And one of our other men, they know this. He picks up the camera, Brother James Abadajas, videotapes the kids getting off. It's his job every week. That is his job. And listen, it's very important. He knows how important it is. So making sure that your workers understand the policy procedures, and if you have order in the church, a lot of these policy procedures are in that book itself. You can print them off and use them as your own. But not only that, number three, vehicle inspection and records. The way we feel about this is, we know the CHP, or California Highway Patrol, they surprise us sometimes. I mean, lo and behold, I think they know the little password over here at the administration building. They had to get upstairs. One day I'm sitting in my office and there's CHP digging through our files. I thought, what are you doing here? You didn't even call. They don't have to. They just show up. Hey, I'm just coming here to look through your records. You know what our records indicate about us? Our testimony. Really. If they come in and they see them in file, okay, here's bus number 16. What is going on here? That's our testimony. You know what? What's been great is one of my sisters, she does a great job, and she's like an expert filer. She does a great job. Is when that CHP says, man, I went over to this public school. It was a nightmare. I come over here and everything's just in order. It looks good. I went over to this other church and they only have two buses. And everything was just, oh, let me go grab this. This one's under my seat and my dashboard. And all. Hey, policies and procedures many times will keep you in order and keep line upon line and help along that way. Worker policy procedures, never being alone with a child. We don't use any form of physical discipline. Understanding they're a mandatory reporter, how I go about making sure that things are reported. Some weeks we won't have anything for mandatory reporting. One week I had 10. This girl got raped by her uncle and this one here. But it wasn't just a slap on the back, like I said, and say, we're praying for you. No, I had to meet with the worker, get the report filled out, call Child Protective Services, give them all the information. Then they had to send me a letter back. I mean, yeah, it does take a lot of time, especially when you have 10 of them. But yet, I want to make sure that our ministry is protected in that aspect. Letter number 5, rider behavior dismissal. Okay, how many be honest? You've had a kid you had to kick off. You had to, hadn't you? It's not fun, is it? Boy, it grieves me. Especially when you try to reach out, reach out, and reach out, and reach out. We also have a rider dismissal policy. And the reason is this, because it saves us. Because here's the thing. They say, well, you just must not like this certain color. You ever heard that one? I said, if we didn't like that certain color, we wouldn't pick you up. Our kids come in, you just don't like us because we're putting in the color. I said, did you get picked up today? Yeah. I said, how much money did you put in that little thing? How much money did you put in there to get picked up? None. I said, who do you think paid for that diesel to fuel that bus? Oh, no. So then I take time to explain that to them. But we want to make sure that we have that policy because parents do call in. You kicked my son off the bus. Why? I said, because our policy is this. Because we give them a warning first. And then we come talk to you second. And we tell you that he is no longer allowed to ride because of this. Or we've given him 3 weeks off. You see, the policy a lot of times saves us and saves that heartache and trouble. Now, the parents still may be mad, but it's okay. And maybe we can go back and win them later. Number 6 is emergency contacts. Emergency contact. Okay, let's just say this. One of your buses breaks down and it catches on fire. Who do you call? Who do they call? If you're thinking, oh, man, I have no idea. Get it down. I know who they usually either call my cell phone or they call Brother Healy's cell phone. Brother Healy is our bus mechanic, and he's one of the greatest ones I've ever met. He's a soul winner, works on buses. Anyway, that has nothing to do about leading and organizing fruitful bus ministry. I just thought I'd throw that one in, okay? You can pay me later. All right, letter C is this, in perception. In perception. Organized in perception. Number one, maybe answer this to your own. Is it just about the crowd? Is it just about having a crowd? I mean, I'll be honest with you. I mean, we have great numbers on our buses and things like that, but I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to take a whatever magazine there is about buses and just put it in there. Because I'll be honest with you, you know who gets the glory for that? Sure, it's me. And to be honest with you, yeah, our bus captains do get a lot of, they should get a lot of credit for it, but ultimately it's the Lord. That's who gets all the credit. I mean, you look around and say, man, wow, this is great. It's the Lord's work. It's the Lord's work. Hey, I believe with all my heart, some of our raggedy old buses, I think the Lord keeps them things together. He keeps those motors running sometimes. I mean, I see the smoke that billows out of the tailpipes. So for us to say, oh, yeah, I mean, we should be excited. Oh, yeah, we had this many, and it's all because of, yeah, the Lord. So is it all about a crowd? Now listen, I'm all for having a crowd, but I'm also for seeing children sitting in a classroom listening. See, I also believe about casting out the scorner to make sure that bus class is ran well. And I've seen that over and over again. Number 2, is this ministry benefiting families? Is it benefiting families? Are we getting in those homes and trying to lead mom and dad to the Lord? You know, the bus ministry to me is a ministry that could change many, many, many families. I've been there. I've seen the two lesbian moms. I've sat there on the couch and talked to them. So what's wrong with these kids? I can tell you. I can tell you this, that I was with a pastor when I first started the ministry. I was out bus calling. I remember going to a bus kid's house. And I'm not trying to be nasty or gross or anything like that, but I saw the little 4-year-old playing in the dog urine. And mom and dad didn't care. And in the next house, excuse me, was a black family that my wife and I had led to the Lord. And the pastor wouldn't go to the door with me. I've seen it. Can I just tell you this? That ministry at that church, number one, they don't run buses anymore. Number two, wasn't beneficial to families because it was all about skin color and whatever class they were in, which was low class, he didn't want to have a part of. But is it benefiting families? The only hope for families in Lancaster and Palmdale and Roseman and Lake LA for many is the buses that run in their areas. And I'm going to tell you, that is the vision and the purpose of, it should be every bus ministry. Not just to be in a big crowd, which we should, want to pick up every child and every teen and every family on our bus. But the vision should be, hey, let's win them and see them saved and see them coming in on a weekly basis. Does it support the vision of the church? Go win, baptize, teach. Does it support it? Number four, what is the purpose of our church running buses? What is the purpose? I don't want to belabor, but what is the purpose? Number two is this, fruitful. Not only being organized, but fruitful. Definition of fruitful, abounding in fruit. Abounding in fruit. Having a large crowd doesn't necessarily confirm that there is fruit that remains and abounds. Let me say that again. Having a large crowd doesn't necessarily confirm that there is fruit that remains and abounds. How many bus riders has your church seen go through some form of discipleship? I'm burdened with that all the time. And we were meeting yesterday morning about that, and I was talking. I said, I'd like to see more of them. I'd like to start seeing some of our children enter into some discipleship program, drive-in children. That Lord's been placing that burden in my heart to see that. And I'd like to see something either developed or used for discipling children. You know, I'm tired of churches that are watering down the truth using discipleship. I think children still need the Word of God. Hey, it changed my life. And I'm sure it's changed yours. Hey, being fruitful. Letter A, record of follow-up. A record of follow-up. Let me grab this real quick. I'll let my phone back here. I was going to show you something. I think some of you that get our magazine saw our soul-winning sweetheart list. All of the couples that I'm following up on, and I think it's going to be open to on the App Store and probably the Android market soon, but watch my phone not work now. But all the names of the folks, here's Nelson and Carmen Gonzalez. I led her to the Lord and her 17-year-old son to the Lord and her 8-year-old daughter to the Lord, and I'm working on the husband and to see them all baptized, to be honest. He's already been saved. But if I click back, I know when the last time I made a phone call, a visit, or anything. You see, I was raised under the mentality of this. If I knock on somebody's door and they seem interested, I'll never go back. That was the mentality I was raised under. Oh, they seem interested, they'll probably come. Then I think about the May family that when my first couple weeks I was here on staff, Robert and Jackie May, I made a visit. And the Holy Spirit of God said, go back, go back, go back. For 3 years, finally they came, and now they're here every week. You see, there's many times that fruit may not abound because we don't keep good records of going back and back and back and back. You say, that's labor. Yeah, it is. You say, that's hard work. Yeah, it is. You say, I'm not very organized. Then get organized. See, so many times we just, oh, I just can't do that. Have you tried? I remember pastor said, hey, we're going to get you a smartphone. I'm like, oh, brother, really? You know, I'm not a techie at all. You know, he says, we're going to get you an iPhone. I'm like, oh, no, here's a nightmare waiting to happen. You know, and now my calendar's on there. Everything's on there and all that. And I'm not saying I'm the world's perfect person on these things. But I know this, when I click on this button, that when I last wrote Nelson and Carmen, I think I called them on Saturday because this tells me. Because I want to see that couple down the aisle. I know Sunday night, Sam and Megan McMichael, he works on the F-22 out of Edwards Air Force Base, they joined. My wife and I went out there, and I know I can look through here right now and tell how many times I wrote them and I called them and I went by their house and all those things. You say, that's all glory to you. No, it's not. It's just that's how God wants us to is make a record of follow-up and keep on and keep on and keep on and keep on. Aren't you glad somebody kept on you? I'm glad that Stephen Curry is now a pastor in Georgia. I'm glad that he stayed on me as a 15, 16, 17-year-old kid. I'm glad that he invited me to go to the dollar store. I still don't understand why he did that. But he stayed on me and said, hey, you want to go to the dollar store? That's right over here. I remember all the rap music that I had in between the seats. And I remember I had one Christian CD. And every time he got in the car, I threw all the rap music back and put that one in. I remember Max Barton, my pastor in North Carolina, getting up on a Sunday morning and saying, yeah, I had this guy pull up beside me, this teenager, and his music was so loud, it was moving my rearview mirror. It was me. But I'm glad that Steve Curry and Max Barton just didn't say, he's too rebellious. I'm glad they kept on coming by and saying, hey, let me take you to lunch. Let me spend some time with you. See, that's what it took in my life. That follow-up, but recording that. See, my brain's not smart enough to keep up with things. That thing's right there smarter than my brain. It keeps it all down for me. I don't have to worry about it. All right? But first-time guest, what happens when a writer comes for the first time? What happens? What do you do? Do you just drop it and say, oh, that's great, I'm glad they came? Or do you go back on a Tuesday morning or a Tuesday or a Saturday or whenever your soul winning time is, do you write them little notes and put it in the mail? Do you go by with another bus flyer or a pixie stick or whatever you give away? But what happens? What happens with the follow-up on a newly saved? And this is what we do, and we try to follow up the best of our knowledge and make sure that nobody falls through the cracks. And we call and email and text and say, hey, how's it going with little Johnny? Is he going to be baptized this week? How about the ones that need baptized? Letter B, campaigns and special days. Campaigns and special days. I love campaigns and special days. They're fun. Number one, a contest for kids and captains. I told you we had friend day, and we encouraged kids. We told them to say, look, you and your friend will get a special treat. My favorite one was, what do we call it? Lancaster Baptist football. We took the NFL logo and made it LBF, Lancaster Baptist football. And we told every bus captain, we had a point system. They brought a friend, they get like 500 points or a touchdown. If they brought mom and dad, it was 7 points. It was a touchdown. We told them if they brought their Bible, it was like 1 point, and we had all the different points. And we told the captains that if their bus won, they would get any NFL jersey they wanted. And we told the kids, you would get any NFL jersey you wanted. And that's what we told them. And so, man, I don't know how many visitors the kids ended up bringing to get that jersey. So I thought this. So, man, NBA season's coming up now. And we ran the same thing. I said, well, you get any NBA jersey you want. And we did that. You know what? I think we spent like $50 per time. So we spent $200 on jerseys. Well, that $200 was a very good investment of some teen bus kids learning over 100 verses. And bus teenagers. See, those are the hardest ones to get encouraged, you know? Because you say, oh, yeah, bring a friend, you get a pixie stick. Woohoo. But from a knee-high five-year-old to an 18-year-old kid, girl or guy, most of them like jerseys. So we just tried to get them a jersey. I mean, they either like it or they get meant to get any one of them. You know, and some of them, I actually had to buy a kid a Kobe Bryant jersey. Whew, that was bad. All right? That was really bad. Campaigns and special days, all right? But have a reason for a campaign. Most of ours are scripture memory because the Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. And we still believe those days. Number two, numerical goals set for each route. Obtainable goal. Not some goal, yeah, we're going to have 300 on our bus, but our bus only holds 75. Now hold on a second. How's that going to work out? And help them with that. But listen, you want to set a goal that you know, hey, it's still by faith, but we can still get it. A numerical goal. Number three, spiritual goal for each route. How many memory verses are they going to learn? Yeah. Ask them. Say, how many memory verses do you think your bus can learn? And give them a sheet. Don't just tell them to learn the Bible. Put a couple hundred verses on a sheet and hand it to every kid. I remember we started a public school Bible club right over here at Tier Bonita Elementary School. And we're running, I think we run about 100 every Bible club, which was neat. And a few of our bus kids go there. When we were having the Lancaster Baptist football, One of the girls, one of the only ones that brought her Bible was one of our girls on our bus. She was Brother Thurgood's. Well, she opened it up and had all the verses of that verse sheet in her Bible. And I think I asked her, I called her by name. I said, how many of those verses did you learn? She said, all of them. You know who the best one in that whole club was? And I'm not just saying this because she wrote it. I didn't know this until after. It was that little girl. Because I believe she has hid the word of God in her heart. And it all became over a stupid jersey they got excited about. They got excited about learning the word of God. The scripture memory, inviting a friend, have a purpose, have a spiritual goal for that. Letter C is discipleship and daily walk. Discipleship and daily walk. Why do we make everything else so important and not make a daily walk important? See, our goal in the bus ministry is not just to have big numbers, even though we want to have that. Not just to have every bus filled up, even though we want that. We want every rider to have a daily walk in a relationship with God. And I told our captains and workers, I said, you should walk up to your kids and explain to them before you do this and say, look, I'm going to walk up to you every Sunday and ask you if you read your Bible. You buttonhole them. Eyeball to eyeball. Did you read your Bible this week? He said, oh, no. Be encouraging to them. Or go up and say, hey, why don't you learn Psalm 119 this week? Why don't you just read that over and over again? And get them in that daily walk. Accountability with riders. One-on-one team discipleship. We haven't perfected this one by any means, but we had written a discipleship little booklet. It's more of a day, it's almost like a daily in the word or just a daily little, it's got a verse and a thought of the day and things like that. We give to our bus rider. We call it Fundamental Thrive or Thriving in the Fundamentals of the Faith. And what we do is the one of the workers, we call him our bus discipler on the bus. What they do, they every week they check off that little book we give those riders and seeing if they're doing their devotions each and every day. Letter D is this, community outreach. Boy, Vacation Bible School is coming up 2 weeks from yesterday here, enlisted for the battle. We're excited. We lined up some tanks to go out here, and man, I'm excited. But more important than that, I'm excited about some of the families they're going to visit. I'm excited to see some of the families saved there in the community outreach. Number two, Community Appreciation Day. That's our big bus day. Some of you know Dr. Zachary, the one that's playing the piano for our church. He just came on West Coast Baptist College staff. He told me at lunch the other day he was saved through Vacation Bible School. He said his mom let him come. They were Catholic, and they weren't allowed to go to another church. But since it was school, they could go. And he came and got saved. And I thought that was really neat. We run buses for that as well. That's a big outreach. Letter E is this, InReach. InReach. This past Sunday, we called it our anniversary Sunday, but we also called it Baptism Sunday. That is an InReach, where we take every child, every adult, and every bus rider, and we find out, okay, this person was saved here, but they've never been baptized. So then we take all of those names. How many names was it, Tanya? About 400. And we make 400 sheets just like this. And we meet with all of our adult Bible class teachers. We meet with all our children and bus teachers. And we say, okay, we got 400 visits to make. And we're going to go in and try to encourage them to be baptized. And so what we're doing, we're giving them the tool. We're trying to take every excuse out of their hands, out of their minds, to not visit. We want to encourage them to visit. And some of them would take 3 or 4 of them, and they get excited about it. But that's an InReach. Another InReach we do is Thanksgiving baskets. And we'll take bus families, and we bring in turkeys and all the fixings and all that, and we go to the different ones and hand them baskets. That's one way in. You know, food usually lets you in, and to be able to see folks saved. But organized. We want to be organized because God desires us to be fruitful. We should want to be fruitful because the gospel is the only hope for today. That's it. Let me ask you this question. I'll let you go. You ever walk through a store, probably Walmart? If you go to Walmart here, you'll see a lot of strange things. And that's where y'all try to stay away. But have you ever said to the person walking beside you or thought this in your mind, what would possess somebody to do that? You ever done that? I went out to eat with a pastor at lunch today, and this guy had these big old hooks through his ears. And the first thing that came to mind was, what would possess him? And then the second thought of, man, he's probably unsaved. You know, some people say, what would possess that church? Like a deputy told me one time, you guys are doing it all wrong. Why in the world would you bring all these low-income kids onto your campus? And I looked at him, I said, I think, buddy, you've got it all wrong. I said, I'm trying to keep them out of the back of your squad car. I said, because their mom and dad have probably already been sitting back there. He didn't say much after I told him that. But here's the thing. We can go back home and say, oh, man, gas prices and this and that and this and that. Or we can just say, hey, we're going to be as organized as we possibly can. It may be staying up burning the midnight oil sometimes, printing out some maps for some workers. Or you say, we only have 400 church, and you guys made 400 Baptists. That has nothing to do with it. But what about the two that were saved? What do we do with them? What about the kid that has not even saved? When's the last time we visited him? You say, is it uncomfortable? Oh, yeah. It's uncomfortable to go out to Lake LA and meet with that family that's two moms in the home. It's not fun. But I know this, that the Word of God in that yellow bus that pulls up in that house every week is the only hope for that family. So why not be organized and why not be fruitful as we possibly can in the bus ministry? And if you need anything through the week, please let me know. If you even have any ideas for us, shoot them to us. And because we're always looking for those things too. And I feel this, the best days of Lancaster Baptist Church and independent Baptist churches in this country are in the days ahead, I promise. I don't think it's the old me, oh no. I think it's, hey, God's doing some great work and the greatest days are ahead. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for these folks that have a heart for the bus ministry. Lord, I pray that we can keep those buses moving. And I know this, the bus ministry, yes, is full of burdens, but I can guarantee this, the blessings far outweigh the burdens. And Lord, I believe that you bless the bus ministry because it's close to your heart. And I pray that you'd bless everyone that runs buses, meet every need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great day.